So we're reading the book of Nahum, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 2 through verses 6. And the Bible says, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I just want to stop right there. You can sit down. I'm going to read a lot today. The fact that the God that created everything that you see around you has the clouds that are the dust at his feet. Now, I don't truly believe that God has his feet on the earth, but it's a picture of the fact that the clouds that you see above you are literally just insignificant to the God that we worship. And the fact that we are so unworthy, but he allows us to be his sons and his daughters, and the fact that he not only calls us his children if we're saved, but the fact that we have the authority to talk to God, the authority to praise him, and the authority that he calls us his God, and we can call him our God. And that's ridiculous, the fact that we are so unworthy. We're nothing, just as she said. We're just a small grain of sand, but that's our God. He's a jealous God. And how magnificent is it to know that there's a God that's loving, and he's that powerful. The fact that the mountains, that they level at just the sound of his voice, and that the earth at one point could just end just by the raw power that he possesses. The fact that he loves you enough that when you turn on him, when you leave him as his child, he's jealous enough to bring you back, to chastise you. He loves you enough to redeem you. He's one God. There is no other God beside him. And the fact that you are able to worship the King of Kings, and the fact that he loves you enough to call you his own children, is something I can't understand. We're going to flip around a lot tonight. Flip over to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Chapter 23, we're going to read verses 39 through 45. And I'm going to go so David can preach. And the Bible says, and he came out and went. Wait, let me make sure wrong spot. 23:39-45. And the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, and saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He loves you that much that he gave you a choice. There were two thieves on that cross. Yep. Which one are you? Yes, sir. There's a man hanging in the balance. Yep. And brother, you were just seconds away from eternity. You were born again this week. Yep. There's something in your heart that there are people in this congregation haven't witnessed. And if you haven't made the choice today, you have two choices. You have eternity hanging in the balance. Oh, yeah. And if Christ is pulling on you today, you're just as those thieves on that cross. You can turn to him or you can mock him. You mock him with the way you live, with the sin. You're crucifying him. We go through our lives and we live in this sin, and we act as though, oh, well, it's under the blood. But the sin that you're committing is crucifying him daily. He died for the sin of the world. And if Christ is calling you, you can miss heaven by a foot. That thief that chose hell by mocking Christ was just a couple feet away. Yeah. And Judas was even closer. He kissed the doorway to heaven. Right. You can be just as close. Just because God convicted you doesn't mean anything. You have to be saved. You have to submit your life to him, which brings me to my third point. There's one God, there's two choices, and there was three nails. Yeah. There was three nails. Yes, sir. And we're going to look at the fact of what was portrayed in those three nails, the fact that God himself threw himself up on the cross of Calvary for wicked sinners. Yeah. And you say, preacher, every time that you mount the pulpit, almost every time we've heard you, you have to mention how Christ was crucified. Yes, I do. That's my staple. That's what I want to put my ministry on, is the fact that there's a God. Not only can he level the mountains at his feet, not only are the clouds the dust at his feet, but he came down here and hung on a cross for you. When you realize that, that God Himself that created earth hung on a cross for you, it'll change your life. And I want to look at what He bore for us one more time. And I know I've preached it. I've preached 30 times today, leading up today in the past year of my ministry. And every time that you've heard me preach here, I've had this in there. So you all ought to have this message ingrained in your mind by now. But Christ Himself bore the hatred of the whole world. And if you study the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it just describes everything that He bore for us. He was mocked. He was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested and He was denied by Peter. And what we see right there is Peter denied Him. And we see in this spot where Peter tells the Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you, Lord. You see right here, we get in a lot of trouble when we tell the Lord how we're going to serve the Lord. We oftentimes want to say, well, Lord, I'll love you and I'll serve you, but you ain't calling me to preach. I'm not going to preach for you. My daddy's got a company for me to take over, or I already got my school of choice in mind. I've already got the job I want to do, Lord. I'll serve you, but I'm not preaching. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. And the Lord said, yeah, you will. We get in a lot of trouble when we tell the Lord what we're going to do for Him. He was mocked and He was betrayed. He was bleeding great drops of blood and He was beaten. He was stripped naked and He was bound up and He was put on a post and He was whipped brutally. They didn't just kind of whip Him lightly. They beat Him. They wanted to murder Him on that cross. And this is something that we have to understand Christ took for us. This wasn't just something that He got bored and decided to come from heaven and to witness for us. He wanted to do this because He saw you, brother. Yep. You got saved. He saw you in His mind. Yep. When He was bearing that cross and He was bearing all those wounds in His back, He saw your face. Yep. He saw your black soul. He saw Levi Ramsey, He saw Tim Ramsey, He saw Hunter's strength, and I can imagine that Satan said, give up, I'll give you everything. I can imagine it. Just go ahead and drop that cross and the whole world will bow down to you. You can call down the angels and obliterate this thing. And he said, no, I love Hunter too much. I got something I got to do for him. And as he keep bearing that cross, he made it all the way up to Golgotha. And when he was on Golgotha, they drove those nails through his hands, and he hung there. Yeah. And he just made the time to tell that thief to comfort him and to tell him, you'll be with me today in paradise. Yeah. He was suffocating in his own blood. Yeah, he was dying, the King of Kings that has existed. Yeah. Elijah, come up here right quick. Come here, hurry, come on. I got 15 minutes, you got to go. The King of Kings came all the way here, and he was bleeding to death. Stand up, Pastor. Amen. Get on your knees. Amen. And God was witnessing His own Son on the cross, pouring out wrath on Him. And not only did He do that, but He turned away from Him.
Oh, that's right.
The world that He sent His Son to die for. His Son was beaten to death. His Son was brutalized, bleeding. The very flesh on His back was hanging as strips off of His very body. And you can turn around, you can sit down. But God poured the wrath of eternity, the wrath of all sin out on His own Son. And He turned His back on Him. That's why? Right. For you.
You're good.
Amen. For you. That's our God. Amen. That's the God that loves us. That's the God that came down to redeem you. And I've got one more point. So there's one God. There's two choices. There's three nails. And then there's forever. Yeah. If you're not saved tonight, there's a day coming.
Yes, sir.
And if we were to get raptured out today, you will experience the largest, most horrifying nightmare you could possibly imagine.
Yes, sir, preacher.
It's the rapture. Turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians.
That's right.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes. For those of which that are saved, and brother, you just kind of one-way ticket to glory if He comes back tonight.
Yep.
If He comes back, this is comforting words.
Yes, sir.
But if you're lost tonight and He comes back, you're going to face something so horrifying. And I'm going to do my best at describing it to you. The tribulation period. Halfway through the tribulation period, I believe there'll be unity amongst the world. We'll be gone and the world will believe a lie. I believe that your conscience will be seared. Those of which who are underneath the sound of my voice right now, you've heard the gospel. I'm giving it to you. So thus, if you don't respond to this and preaching the man's response, if you don't respond to this and we're raptured out, you have no chance of getting saved after we're gone. There will be unity among the world, and there will be the rise of the Antichrist, and he will unify the world. There will be one currency, there will be one government, there will be one religion, which will be wickedness. And we see in the second half that the fear of the Antichrist falls. He enters the temple and he sets an idol and he demands that it be worshipped.
Yes, sir.
And after that is done, after he does that, God's wrath absolutely falls on this world.
Sir,
and if you are left behind, Revelation 8.
Oh, yeah.
Revelation 8 is absolutely horrifying if you are not saved.
Yes,
and if you are saved, you ought to praise God that you don't have to witness what we're about to read. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers... The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. A third of this world will be burnt up. A third of it.
That's right.
Many of us will never in our lifetimes explore a third of the world. It's a vast amount of distance. But the fact that God will pour his wrath out. The fact that you ignored his son, we spit on his son, we beat his son, we hated his son, we crucified and tried to murder his son. His son wasn't murdered. He gave his life for you. He will pour out judgment. One third of the earth will be burned up. One third of the seas will turn into blood. A third of the stars will fall from heaven. Go out tonight because it'll be nighttime when we leave and look up at the stars. If you can count them all, a third of those will fall. Imagine the destruction that will happen on this planet as a third of the stars above us come crashing down. I don't know if a third of them will congregate together and hit us. I'm not sure, but imagine meteors hit all the time in small form, and they cause a small amount of destruction, but imagine a third of the stars in the galaxy falling and hitting us. And then there will be plagues similar to Egypt during Israel's captivity. There'll be locusts behaving as scorpions.
Yep.
There'll be raining hail from the sky, and there'll be scorching heat. The sun will enlarge itself. There will be no food. The resources will be very limited. There will be vast amount of murder. There will be hatred in the world. You will be persecuted. The Jews, which will be there, will be persecuted. It will be the worst nightmare that you can imagine. You will be screaming, "God, kill me," and you can't die. You can't escape it.
Right.
Some people are in here smiling tonight, and it really bothers me. Because they haven't looked at me once tonight, and it really upsets me, the fact that this is true. This isn't just some imaginary fairy tale. This is a textbook of facts that can't be disproven. And you're smiling about this as if it's a joke, and that makes me sick. I'm not up here to break your heart. I'm not up here to make you scared. I'm up here to let you realize that there is a God in heaven that demands your submission to him and demands that there is one way to heaven, and that is through his son. And if you don't accept it, his wrath will pour out upon you.
That's right. That's the book.
And at the end of that, Christ will return.
Yep.
He'll return. And once we're gone, you have no chance of being redeemed. But this is once he returns. If you look in Matthew 25:31 and Revelation 1:7, yep. I'll just read Revelation 1:7.
Yep.
And it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen."
Yes.
We all got excited over that eclipse that came through. People traveled from all over the country to come and see and witness it. This will be an eclipse that no one will miss. You won't have to travel. In fact, half of this world, all of the world will be running from it. This is something that no one wants to witness if you're lost.
Yep.
He will come and you will see him and you will bow, for he is the king. Those nails that he bore for you, those stripes that he bore for you, that cross that he bore for you, that death, burial, and resurrection he bore for you.
Oh, yes.
There will be the Messiah. And when he returns, or this will be the Messiah that the Jews were looking for. This will be the one, this will be the reason that they neglected him, because they're looking for the militarized ruler, the Redeemer of the Jews, to rise up against what they believed at the time to be the Romans or whoever was over them. And this will be what they were looking for, but it's too late. It's too late. That's why they don't like to read Isaiah 53. It's convicting. It contradicts all their beliefs. Angels will separate the believers from the non-believers, the redeemed Jews of the time. And the non-believers will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is where I get really excited. Later on, we see Satan, our accuser, is bound up and cast into the lake of fire. The one that torments you day and night over the sins that you committed last week, last year, before you got saved, after you got saved, that man right there that tears family apart. The same reason that Christ has to wipe away your tears in heaven, he will be cast into hell. I believe that those tears will be remembrance of our loved ones that are cast into the lake of fire. That or the fact that we regret not living for him as we should. And the reason that there will be tears in heaven, he will be cast into the lake of fire. The reason that you can't get your family in the church and they despise you because they think we're a bunch of crazy people. The reason that we see individuals die from disease. The reason that there is hatred, there is racism, there's starving children. The reason that there is anything wrong with this world will be bound up and he will be cast into hell. Tonight, if you haven't found peace in your heart, if any of this terrified you, and I wasn't trying to work up your emotions tonight, if it honestly terrified you in your soul, if it was just my words that terrified you, it'll leave you alone. But if it was God, it honestly terrifies you. You can get right with God.
Yes, sir.
There's an opportunity for it. He can work in your heart. Now, he has to work in your heart. I believe in a whosoever salvation, but not a whensoever salvation. There is no change and there is no spiritual baptism. And for those of which that are getting baptized tonight, and this is closing, if there wasn't a change in your heart, don't expect there to be one before you go in that water.
Yeah.
Christ loves you tonight, but he doesn't want you to put on a show for him.
Yeah.
He wants you to be authentic.
Yes.
And he is returning for those of which that are lost. Yeah. You have time to turn to him today.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, preacher.